Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you could tell again from the lessons this evening and from the hymns, our theme this week, established as always by the gospel on Sunday morning, is Jesus' power over death and the certainty of our resurrection through him. In the first lesson this evening, you heard one of the two Old Testament resurrection miracle accounts with the prophet Elijah. Between Sunday school and Sunday's gospel and the third lesson you heard this evening, you've now heard all three gospel accounts of Jesus raising people from the dead. The young man of Nain, the daughter of Jairus, and now Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. This third resurrection miracle was in a way different from the first two because the first two occurred up north in Galilee or near the region of Galilee, away from the center of Jewish society and life where the hicks of the Jewish society lived. This one happened just outside Jerusalem so that everyone in Jerusalem could know about it, either witness it for themselves or hear from the eyewitnesses of this resurrection miracle. After this, there could be no denying that Jesus had the power to give life to the dead. We can all relate to the sadness of Mary and Martha at the death of their brother Lazarus. We can probably even relate to their disappointment in Jesus, for allowing it to happen, for taking so long in getting there, so that he arrived when it was too late. It's natural for our flesh to blame God for letting things like this happen, to think that I know that death happens, but it should be different for me and for my loved ones. We should be allowed to live to a ripe old age if God cares about us. But then we remind our flesh, as we did on Sunday morning, that death isn't God's fault. It's the devil's fault, and it's ours. Death was given the power to reign over all those born of Adam, because all those born of Adam are sinful and unclean by birth, by nature. All those who are connected to Adam die, and that's all of us, because we're all descended from him. Knowing that doesn't make it less painful or sad or tragic, but it does help us to face death with understanding. And that's important if we're going to understand God's solution to our death problem. His solution is Jesus. But what does that mean? As Mary and Martha learned, Jesus didn't come the first time to wipe out death forever. God still allowed people like Lazarus to die. And only three times did he step in to reverse death, and those reversals were only temporary. He restored three mortals to their mortal lives for a while longer, and then they died like everyone else. Nothing had changed. But when Jesus himself rose from the dead, that was when everything began to change. That's when his words, "I am the resurrection and the life," truly took on their intended meaning. Christ was the first fruits, as Paul refers to him, the first body harvested from the earth that would never die again, but also the proof of the rest of the harvest coming and the reason for its coming. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. That is, all who are connected to Adam, which is all of us who are born from him, die. But all who are connected to Christ, which is all of us who were born again of water and the Spirit, will be made alive again. And not just temporarily, not just for a little while, but never to die again. As Paul writes, each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Yes, all who are in their graves will be raised when Christ comes, but not all will be raised to what the Bible refers to as life. Those who were not Christ's when they died will be raised to eternal death. As it says in the last chapter of Daniel, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. So the doctrine of the resurrection highlights for us again the importance of making sure you're right with God now, so that when you die, you belong to Christ. You are Christ's, and belonging to Christ, you will rise to everlasting life. The same goes for those around you. It's a sad, sad thing to hear people who call themselves Christians speaking and acting as if everyone who dies will be up there hanging out with God, will be in heaven, will have eternal life. Or as if everyone who calls themselves Christians will rise to eternal life. How many of those same people are right now living in sin? How many of those same people refuse to go to church regularly or to hear the Word of God or to receive His sacraments? How many of those same people live in impenitence and willful rebellion against God's commandments and yet expect that God must still give them eternal life? Those who are Christ's, those who belong to Christ, will rise to life at His coming. And you who are Christ's will rise at His coming. You've been baptized in His name. Now you must continue to live in the new life God gave you at your baptism, in daily contrition and repentance, in a living faith in Him who is the resurrection and the life. Rejoice in Christ and take comfort in the life He promises. And stay close to Christ that you may receive the life He promises. We were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.